On the 1st of May in 2012, I was at Bundaran Hilir, which is Jakarta's iconic central roundabout. There are a couple of dozen women setting up placards and banners. Busloads of workers continued to arrive in what was a pretty standard May Day celebration. What was unusual is that these women were domestic workers who don't have social or legal recognition as workers. My research tries to explain how, over the last 20 years, many of Indonesia's estimated 10 million domestic workers have sought to forge a place for themselves within the labour movement and construct a counter-narrative about the nature and the value of the work that they do. I interviewed union organisers and NGO activists to construct a history of the Tunas Mulia Domestic Workers Union in Yogyakarta. Now, as it currently stands, domestic workers in Indonesia don't have legal protection like other workers would. This means that they're often unfairly paid and they're likely to be on call for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is compounded by a dominant narrative that suggests that domestic workers become like part of the family, so they don't really need regulation. The International Labour Organization passed Convention 189 on domestic work in 2011, which has strengthened efforts globally to empower domestic workers. But there's a problem. Traditional trade union organising methods just don't cut it in a sector defined by worker atomisation and anchored in the private sphere, in the household. Domestic work isn't like other types of work. My research has found that domestic workers themselves have come up with innovative new organising models that address these limitations. When domestic workers in Yogyakarta first started organising in the early 1990s, they made strategic use of the public space that was available to them. They chatted on the walk to Friday evening prayers, or while they were waiting to use the public telephone booth. For domestic workers who weren't allowed to leave the house that they worked in, they copied out handwritten newsletters to deliver to them. Sometimes these discussed common problems, or sometimes it was a place to share recipes and stories from home, a kind of subversive sociality against the isolation of domestic work. Domestic workers' presence at May Day reflects a long struggle to be considered workers and to be part of the labour movement. But it's also a challenge for us to rethink what we think we know about organising workers in the informal sector. Thank you.